Right on the edge of the last day, basically the 12th hour post-public Sabbatarian congregation, 9,012 down Riverdale, Texas. Today is June 15, 2017, already Sydney, 21, 2021. We start the first service today with a song entitled Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, cast him in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Yahshua the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the path and the child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings not buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, how chords are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, they all will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell of the wonder a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Okay, this is part 3 of Kingdom of Heaven. We're on Matthew 16. Let us continue our study now. It says, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather. Again, in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Now, you wonder where Adventists got their title for their magazine that they put out for many, many years, entitled Signs of the Times? I believe that was the name of it. Might have been ended up with These Times, but that's just where they got it from. Signs of the Times, Matthew 16:3, verse 4. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Yahshua said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Yahshua perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread? Do ye yet not understand, not remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took out? Not of the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In other words, they're false teachings. Peter's confession of the Yahshua, verse 13, Matthew 16. When Yahshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Yahshua, the son of the living Elohim. And Yahshua answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation of Israel, or I will build my kingdom. Now the kingdom would be the most proper noun to put there in the place of that word church. That seems how we use the word congregation, and temple. We use the word temple. But it says, Again I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? This rock of the truth. In other words, that truth that Peter gave testimony to, said, Thou art the Yahshua. He said, the son of the living Elohim. And so by saying that, that's the rock that Yahshua said he's going to build the everlasting kingdom of heaven upon. That's what that church actually translates into. Where he says, I will build my church. In other words, he could very well say, I will build and set up my everlasting kingdom of the David, of the heaven, of the Yahweh, the Father, those three. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against this everlasting kingdom of heaven that I have the power to set up. This is Yahshua. I'm speaking for Yahshua. But this, in essence, is what he's saying. Okay. Now, it says, verse 19, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But you know, I can truthfully say that those keys have been placed upon my shoulder. I can truthfully say that because I have used these very scriptures, and here especially in Matthew 18, to bind truth in heaven and on earth by quoting the written word. And I did that more notably down there in Turner, Texas. When I was there for 20 years, that I was actually there, literally lived there. Out of 33 and a half years I was with Rhodes Johnson, 20 years was spent right there in Turner, Texas, his hometown. And I lived right across the street from the congregation's temple. And when I was out, I started my ministry just as soon as I saw the truth in 1970, and I went back to the Seventh-day Adventist Church where I was a member in Hanley, Texas, and I started witnessing the truth, and I had one man that showed interest in it, and he asked for Bible studies, and I gave him Bible studies, and for about 6 months there, we worked together and worshiped together, and finally he said, yeah, I said, I see the truth, this is the truth. He said, this is the truth, all right. And he accepted it. And then he said he had to go share it with his Adventist friends. Some of them were Adventist ministers. And I told him not to do it so early. Wait till he got grounded. He refused to do what I told him, and so he went and shared it with his friends. I said, they'll take it away from you. And so he went that very day, and he started sharing it with his friends, and the very next day, he had rejected this truth. And so that was the truth that I bound in heaven. And so he told me, he said, instead of now working with me anymore, he's going to have to work with his friends and fight against this false doctrine that I'm teaching. And so I bound a truth in heaven with him. I said, the day that you put you forth to do this, I said, it will cost you your life in this world and the world to come. And lo and behold, that man died of an accident a few months later. He was electrocuted. He electrocuted himself, working on a job. And so my wife, she liked the guy pretty well as a friend. We had him in our home quite a bit. And she said, don't you tell me that what you said against Thomas Kabeka, don't you tell me that because you said that's the reason why he got killed. I said, well, I don't have to say anything. I said it, and he got killed. You can say what you want to. Whether it was because of what I said or because he just had a natural accident. Nevertheless, he's dead and gone. And he's not out there now fighting against me and this truth among those very people that I was ministering to. He went right back to them and started showing that he had investigated my truth for 6 months and that he had found that it was false doctrine, so he went and he started, and the very people that I'd been proselyting to, he went back to them and started undoing everything that I had put out. And so I pronounced that against him. Well, those very people came to me also. Some of those people came to me at his funeral. They asked me, they said, do you think Thomas Kabeka lost his soul over that? I said, absolutely. Well, I don't agree with you. I think he's all right. I think he's going to be saved. I said, well, that's fine. That's your opinion. But I said, I can take you to Scripture and show you that he lost his soul. And so that's the way it goes when you're buying stuff on heaven. So I'm going to read this Matthew again, 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want to read to you some scriptures that goes with this here, Matthew 16:19. And it says in Isaiah 22, here is a prophecy and a type. It says verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto the house of Judah. Now the inhabitants of Jerusalem are your leaders in the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. But the house of Judah is where the laity belongs to, which is in Jerusalem. But the laity and all the hill, living in all the little cities in the hill countries of Judea, they come into Jerusalem for the holy day. And so that's who Isaiah is talking about here. He said, I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. Okay, now this government is the government of Israel. This here, the burden of the valley of Isaiah 22, verse 1. The burden of the valley of the vision. What aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetop? That thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. The slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in the battle. All thy rulers are fed together, they are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble, and we are in this day of trouble today, and it's treading down and of perplexity by the Yahweh Elohim, Yahshua Messiah of the host in the valley of the vision, breaking down the walls and of the crying unto the mountain. Now this is a Latter-day prophecy for today, folks. And Elam bare the quiver with the chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall sit themselves in array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. And ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool, and ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, and neither have respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Yahshua Messiah the host call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with the sackcloth. Now notice I'm using Yahshua, the son's name here. And he's in charge of this prophecy. He's in charge of Isaiah. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Yahshua of the host, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith Yahshua Messiah of the host. Thus saith the Yahshua Messiah of the host, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shibna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here? Now this is Shibna. He's over the house of Yahweh. So this is the name I was looking for, the one that the keys was passed from to another one. What hast thou here? And whom hast thou here that thou hast showed thee, has hewed thee out a sepulcher here? And as he that heweth him out a sepulcher on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock, behold, the Yahshua will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Yahshua's house, or of thy master's house. This is not Yahshua. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. Now he's talking about Shibna here, which is over the house, and says, so he says he's going to pull him down. Verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with the robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, Shibna, S-H-E-B-N-A, verse 15. And I will commit thy government, Sheba's government, into his hand, and he shall be father unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto the house of Judah. So you see, apparently Shibna was a sign over Yahweh's government, over Jerusalem and Judah, as a ruler, but he wouldn't take care of them spiritually. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious stone unto his father's house. And he shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, and the vessels of cups, even unto all the vessels of flagon. In that day, saith the Yahshua the host, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed. And be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for Yahshua has spoken it. So, the man that inherited the key of David, he accomplished a work back then, what he had to do. But this is a type. This is a type for today. And Brother Johnson fulfilled this type here, because he had a nail put in the wall for him and for the sinful king of Eric Kermit, Texas, for 33 and a half years that I was there. But that was removed. That the key of David is laid upon his shoulder, and he opened the prophecies of the 2300 days. Brothers did. Ellen G. White announced in 1844, and William Miller. But he opened the prophecies in 1970 of the 2300 days and showed the timeline for the fulfillment of restoring the sanctuary, and that was laid upon Verla Johnson's shoulder. But he advocated that, and he advocated his throne, and he was thrown down. And so the rest is history. All right, that's enough on that. Let's go back to Matthew 16, matter of fact, let's go to Matthew 18:18, and read that scripture. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, and again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Okay, those three scriptures came to prominence during Kermit in 2002. Okay, now in John chapter 20, verse 22 and 23, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Okay, so I have received the Holy Spirit. It didn't say receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It says receive the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? There isn't any difference. You can have receive the Holy Spirit any time that you accept a new truth. Because it's the Spirit that gives you understanding and conviction that you should accept it. Okay? So now let's go back to Matthew 19 and let's read Matthew 16, read verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Yahshua the Messiah. From that time forth began Yahshua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Yahshua, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of Yahweh, but those that be of men. So Yahshua didn't waste any time of letting Peter know exactly about the Spirit, whether it was telling him those things or not. He let Peter know right quick that the Holy Spirit didn't reveal, that the Father didn't reveal that statement to him that he had made. But up there in verse 16, Yahweh showed Peter that the Father had revealed that to him. But now, in verse 23, Yahshua is telling Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't perceive the things that be of Yahweh. Well, he did in verse 16, but in verse 23, Peter, all of a sudden, he's lost his way spiritually. He has completely lost his way, and he's collapsed. He just collapsed spiritually. He don't have the Holy Spirit. He don't have no inspiration. He has nothing. Because he went relying on his own intuition and on how he wanted it to be. That's the way he wanted it to be. Verse 24, Matthew 16. Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according unto his works. Really, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Oh my goodness. So I was right when I said earlier that when he told Peter, upon his rock I'm going to build my church, I said, no, that's going to be the everlasting kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of David, that's the kingdom of the Father, and the kingdom of Yahshua. Okay, and so we represent that kingdom today. And so he told them that they would not see death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay, so the Son of Man went back to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, and he was crowned king as the kingdom upon the throne of David of the heaven. He's crowned the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of earth, kingdom of David, kingdom of Yahshua. Well, Solomon, when he sat upon David's throne, he was called the kingdom of Solomon. When David sat upon his throne, it's called the kingdom of David. And when any of their successors succeeded them on the throne, it was called their kingdom. It was their kingdom. I just read to you there in Matthew 22, where it talks about this man. Isaiah 22. I'm going to read it to you again. It was his kingdom. Okay, it says in verse 15, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Yahshua Messiah of hosts, go get thee unto this treasure, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say. Okay, so Shebna is over the house of Yahweh. He's over the kingdom. He has the keys of David. So it was called his kingdom. Called his house. Okay, I'll be going back now to Matthew 16. They say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according unto his works. Really, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I've read that, but I'll review that again. So, when Yahshua marched into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they hear him, Hosanna, King of Israel. Well, the disciples witnessed that. They witnessed that scene. You go read that there in Luke chapter 22. They witnessed the scene of him coming into his kingdom. And so, but they didn't understand it. That was a type. Okay. That's the end of chapter 16. We'll go to chapter 17 now. And after 6 days, Yahshua taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yahshua, Yahshua, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Yahshua came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Yahshua only. As they came down from the mountain, Yahshua charged them, saying, tell the vision unto no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Yahshua answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." Okay, so now it says Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come unto the multitude, there came unto him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Master, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." And Yahshua answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither unto me." Now he's talking to his 11 disciples, or his 12 disciples. This is Yahshua's talking to them. He said, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation." Well, I say he was. I guess he wasn't after all. He was actually talking to that generation that was present at that time of people that Yahshua was ministering unto. But he was making a strong statement about his disciples not being up to par to be able to accomplish what he had ordained them to do. Yahshua had ordained them to have power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. He gave them that gift, passed it on to them. But they still weren't able to use it and exercise it. When that man came to them needing some help, verse 18, Matthew 17, "And Yahshua rebuked the dead devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples and Yahshua apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' Yahshua said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" There's that word, unbelief. We had that word once before in our study, in our last study. "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now in chapter 13 it says, verse 57 and 58, "And they were offended in him, but Yahshua said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house.' And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." There's that word unbelief. And so again, here in Matthew 17, verse 20, "But Yahshua said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" He's talking to his disciples now. Before, he was talking about the unbelief of those Gentile heathen nations. Now the Gentiles and other disciples are just the same way. They don't have strong enough faith in the power that Yahshua had given to them to accomplish miracles with it. That's what the power is given to you for, is to accomplish miracles with it. "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place." Okay, now I want to go ahead and read you something else here in John 14, where it talks about having faith to remove mountains. Also, I believe it's 14, it says in verse 12, John 14, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So now he's telling the disciples, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And he's not just talking about the disciples here, he's talking about anybody. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So in other words, those that believe on Yahshua becomes converted, repent, and get rid of all their sin, then he gives them the same privilege and power that he gives to the disciples. They can go out and perform miracles too. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And it says in verse 14, John 14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Huh. Now, isn't this amazing? That if we accept and follow all the truth that Yahshua has given us, he said he'll pray the Father and he'll give us a comforter that shall abide with us forever. So how much security does one need? You can't ask for more security than that in this terrible, perilous world that we live in. Then it says in John 14, verse 17, it says, "Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." That's what he's talking about here at the house of David. He said, he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, by his Spirit. Get rid of your sins, folks, and you have the embodying and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life 24/7. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also." "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him." What more can you ask for than that? And now we go back to Matthew 17. And we read verse 21. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So he's telling the disciples, if you want to perform these miracles, you're going to have to put in some time of prayer and fasting. "And while they abode in Galilee, Yahshua said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorry. And when they were come unto Capernaum, they that received tribute money came unto Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Yahshua prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Yahshua said unto him, then are the children free. So, he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Okay. So Peter learned a valuable lesson there. He answered his own question, and then he had to go fishing. He had to go come for some money. So he popped off again without thinking. Matthew 18, verse 1. Principles of the heavenly kingdom. At the same time, came the disciples unto Yeshua, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Yeshua called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, and cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven your angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, if he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the congregation. But if he neglect to hear the congregation, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter unto him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Yeshua saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. For the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their master all that was done. Then the, I'll call him by the right name, it's not Lord, it's then the Yahshua. After that he had told him and said unto him, well, this is actually Yahshua talking right here, so I'm going to go back to this other. Then his master, after that he had told him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentor, that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses. Okay, that's the end of chapter 18. Okay, chapter 19, Matthew. And it came to pass that when Yahshua had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. The disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this sin, save they unto whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were eunuchs of men. Which have made themselves eunuchs for their kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. And Yahshua said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which Yahshua said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What left I yet? Yahshua said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Yahweh. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Yahshua beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Yahshua said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Well, that's the end of chapter 19, and that pretty well sums it up. And this brings one of us up. This is our contact us at the 11th hour calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close the service now with a song entitled, If That Isn't Love. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha, where he laid out his life for me. If there is the glory, the ocean is strong, there's no star in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If there is a Lord, then heaven's a bed. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the pleading by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. They took him to If that isn't love, the ocean is strong, there's no star in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, in heaven's up there, there's no feeling like this.